now that college football is over for, well, at least the playing of it, for about 6 months or so. Basketball, a couple of weeks into conference play right now. Bill Justice at 10:30. Who's hot? Who's not? Most of them seem to be somewhere in between. We'll talk with Billy the Legend again at 10:30. The American Football Coaches Association was in Nashville this past week. Over 6,000 coaches from every level, peewees all the way up to the pros, mostly, and a bunch of course, college coaches. They like to come here, by the way. Nashville's a great town, kind of in between, great city to be in. The airport out near Opryland where they stay. And, again, all under one roof. We'll discuss that a little bit later also. The convention is where many assistant coaches changes occur. Now, many of them aren't made public then, but this is when you have a lot of interviews. A lot of the assistant coaches are there. The old joke among assistant coaches was about 90% of the people there are looking for a job. Some want a little bit better job. Others need a job. And there's about 10% are happy where they are. By the way, Todd Berry, the executive director of the American Football Coaches Association, he'll be on with us at 10 o'clock today for a whole half hour, two segments, looking into some of the problems and what maybe some of the solutions are. In college football, we are going to talk specifically about both the grad transfer and the transfer portal much more, and how that is starting to become a slight problem. We'll talk with Todd about that. And then also get into the likeness issue. 30 states right now have either passed some form of paying college players for likeness. I think Florida is the one that comes due first. Again, they've either already passed something or are in the middle of passing something. The NCAA is having a huge meeting this coming week or the week after this, one of the two. I don't recall which one right now. We'll ask Todd when we get him on, but we'll be taking a close look with Todd about where everything is right now. There's no question in Todd's mind that this eventually is going to get into some type of federal legislation along with the NCAA. Again, we'll dig into that a little bit later. Speaking of assistant coaches changes, LSU wins it all, and with success comes, well, assistant coaches leaving for coaching advancements. We start with Mr. College Football, Tony Barnhart, talking about that very subject. Tony, first off, just give us maybe a 30-second or a minute little synopsis on how was New Orleans?
New Orleans was great, as it always is. It is a destination town with a lot of good places to eat, and the party goes on all night long. And it was the perfect place for this game. And as you mentioned, the game went pretty much the way a lot of people thought it would. It took Joe Burrow about a quarter and a half to figure out what Clemson was doing. And from then on, he was in complete control of the game.
You know, speaking of New Orleans, I was fortunate enough and not almost, every bit through coaching football to be able to go to some of the destination cities, as you mentioned. And some of them that really kind of stuck out to me. Certainly New York City is one of those. Mm-hmm. New Orleans and San Francisco, those three in particular. I know there are others. Chicago was very nice. But those three, they're cities that have their own uniqueness about them. And, again, there's others I'm not leaving in there. Destination cities, Nashville is one of those now. But, anyway, Tony, let's kind of start with that. Let's get into the ball game, and then as – You heard me just mention, we're going to talk today about how when you have success, when you have great success, you're going to be losing assistant coaches. That's the way it is. I'll talk a little bit later about how one of the key jobs for a head football coach, particularly when you get to the level that many of these programs are right now, you know you're going to lose assistants. It's best to be able to home grow your others that can move up for this reason. I mentioned the American Football Coaches Association here in Nashville. At all these conventions, I went to 20 of them when I was coaching. The assistants kind of stay together and the head football coaches stay together. You don't see a lot of fraternizing between the two. And what happens after a period of time when you're an assistant coach, what happens is, or head coach, excuse me, what happens is that you you're away from the assistants. You really don't know them like you did when you first became a head coach. Let's take Ed Orgeron's a good example of this. He's an assistant for so many years. He knew the assistant coaches. The further you are away from that, the more you have to rely on other things when it comes time to replacing coaches. So we're gonna touch on that, but let's get into the game itself. Joe Burrow had a really, literally a historic season. Tony, I was kind of looking through some things and going back through some former shows. I know that through 15 ball games, there were certainly probably some times when Joe Burrow did not perform at a high level. But you know, starting really with the Texas game, all the way through the national championship game against Clemson, I can't recall anywhere close to a even average game that he had.
Right.
Amazing.
No, it really was, because, you know, I go back to the Alabama game in Tuscaloosa, and in that game, you know, Alabama was, you know, matching them score for score, and LSU never backed down, even though they were playing on the road. Every time Alabama scored, Todd Burrow would take them back down the field. And when they got the lead at the end of the game, they started running the ball and ran the clock out. I mean, it was just a textbook win, and they did it. They did it all year. And Joe Burrow would have maybe possessions that weren't good, but he never even had a half that wasn't good. It was always a short stretch of time.
Well, there's been 9 undefeated national championships, that national champion teams in the Southeastern Conference. LSU's had 2 of those. Of course, Alabama's had several of them. Tennessee had 1. Georgia had 1. Auburn had 1. But, and I don't keep up with the award season like most people do, because literally I could really care less about the Heisman Trophy. I don't know how you pick a Heisman Trophy. What you're really picking is the best offensive football player every time, except maybe once or twice in the history of it. But LSU, Tony, was there an award that they did not win? We know that Joe Burrow won the Heisman. Let's just go down through that. Best receiver, that's the Fred Biletnikoff Award. Ja'Marr Chase won that. The Jim Best Defensive Back, Grant Delpit, won that. Top assistant coach, Joe Brady, won that. The only assistant coach that's ever won the Frank Broyles Award that was not a coordinator. More about Joe Brady in a minute. Joe Moore Award, that's for the top offensive line. And, of course, the coach of the year. I don't know what was out there they didn't win.
I guess the running back awards. Because those
And they could have won that.
Could have won that the way that Clyde Edwards-Helaire was playing. The kid from Oklahoma State ended up, you know, winning that when all was said and done. But, yeah, this has to be the most decorated team ever in the SEC, because they won every major award with the exception of the running back awards. And it's pretty remarkable when you think about it. And you know what, Doug, what's going to happen is we're less than a week removed away from the end of this season. As time, I could be wrong. I've been doing this a long time. As time goes on, we're going to look back at this team and go, you know what? That's one of the best teams we've ever seen. It really, to do what they did against, not only do what they did, but to do what they did against top-flight competition. I mean, look at the people they beat. Florida, Alabama, Georgia, Auburn, Texas. I mean, they played 7 top-10 teams. They were ranked in the top 10 at the time they played them. It was a remarkable
accomplishment. Well, then you throw Oklahoma, who was
Big 12
champs. Maybe Baylor was there. And then, of course, the national championship game against Clemson, against what? Been there three, four times in the last 5 years.
Yeah.
So anyway, listen, folks, I know there's a lot of talk. We're not going to get talked much about the ball game. That's been talked to death. But just some things on this. Tony, LSU's having their national championship parade today, Baton Rouge. And we talked about all these award winners. That's the good part of it. And I wouldn't even call it a negative, because when you lose players to the draft, that means you're recruiting very well and probably means you're winning and probably means you're going to be recruiting well in the future. But they're going to have some big, big shoes to fill. Mm. I saw where the Moss youngster was the latest that I have seen to declare on that. Losing a lot of really, really top quality players there, as well as defensive coordinator Dave Aranda he's going to become he's going to Baylor to be the head coach there. Congratulations to Dave Aranda. You know,
well
deserved. Let me just touch on him just a second. Aranda in the coaching assistant coaching profession, probably head coaches too. He is highly, highly respected for the job that he has. But he does, you know, yes, he does get his due in a lot of areas. But you know, he's not a flamboyant guy. He's not, but you never hear, I don't think I've ever heard him talk or say anything on the sideline. He's there. He doesn't try to get his face on TV like a lot of people do. And a quality coach. They're going to miss a lot of things down there. They're going to miss, I know, Joe Brady, but Dave Aranda literally was one of the top two or three defensive coordinators. Well, even before he came to LSU.
Yeah,
and he's, I'm glad to see guys like him get a head job. Really am.
Well, and I think Ed Orgeron had the exact right attitude. He said, look, Dave Aranda stayed with us for 4 years when he could have easily left and found a head coaching job somewhere. But he stuck around to sort of finish what he started. He said, and Ed Orgeron also said, this is what happens when you recruit really good players. And so we embrace that. Guess what? We're going to go out, recruit some more really good players. And that, you know, in that sense, Ed Orgeron fully believes he can build a program at LSU like the one that Nick Saban has at Alabama.
Well, the thing too about Orgeron, he certainly knows where Dave Aranda was because he was there, even more so. He had been an interim coach and got overlooked. He had a head job and by nose and mitt and probably own admission, probably did some things that he would have done again, over again. But
no doubt.
He learned from all those things. So anyway, we'll kind of put the book on that. I mentioned Joe Brady going to the Panthers with Matt Rhule, by the way. So I guess a Baylor connection had something to do with losing both of your top coaches. Even with that, though, this is going to be a team that's going to return a lot of really good players. Going to be younger. But that's something that the top teams will face. Let's talk just real quickly about the other participant in that ball game. Certainly you're going to have players, and we've already seen from Clemson leaving. However, Tony, you take a deep dive look into this. We know that Trevor Lawrence is back. Some are trying to get him go to the XFL. I'm sure that's going to fly. I'm sure that's high up on his list somewhere. Always wanted to play in a Vince McMahon league. But this was a relatively young football team.
Oh, very much so. Very much so. The day of the game, I pulled out their depth chart. I didn't look at special teams. They had 58 players listed on their two deep roster for offense and defense. Of those 58, 32 were freshmen and sophomores. 48 were juniors. So 48 of those 58 are eligible to come back. Travis Etienne, the running back, I thought he was gone. A great junior running back, usually doesn't stay around. Travis Etienne is coming back next year. And so, by the way, when all the precincts are in, Clemson's going to sign the number one recruiting class in the country this year.
One quick question about that from what you've seen. We know Florida State's made a change with Norvell. Miami did not make a whole lot of improvement. Now, again, that Manny Diaz's first year, you got to believe at some point they're going to get better. Is North Carolina maybe the biggest challenge that Clemson might have? And I'm not sure how big a challenge they will be. I guess maybe Virginia you could throw in there. Virginia's going to be a pretty good team most of the time.
Right.
Anybody you see over there that can challenge with them? Georgia Tech still rebuilding, still changing what they're doing
still
down there.
Right. I think North Carolina is the team. Of course, they're in the other division from Clemson. The question is anybody going to step up in the Atlantic division of the ACC to challenge Clemson at all? And I frankly don't see it. I mean,
Wake
for Florida State. Florida State they got a lot of work to do. Wake Forest is, you know, Wake Forest. NC State is NC State. There's just nobody. Syracuse, there's just nobody over there to challenge them because they're recruiting at such a high level.
Well, you mentioned Wake Forest. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to talk about Wake Forest quarterback who will be going, this little bit, I guess, southwest maybe. I know it's south. I know where he's going. I think it's southwest. Anyway, more with Tony Barnhart when we come back. Farm Bureau Health Plan started right down in Columbia, Tennessee in 1947, what, 72 years or so from ago? If you are 65 now, and if you want to see if you can reduce your monthly premium, if you're not quite 65 or if you're past 65, or if you just want to check out the premiums and what you can do with Farm Bureau Health, go to fbhealthplans.com. You've heard me say this before. I didn't know this up until I started talking with Farm Bureau, that in all of the Medicare supplement plans, all of the federally mandated Medicare supplement plans, they are all the same with two exceptions, two differences only. One, how much you're going to pay. We can figure that out pretty quick. And secondly, the service you're going to receive. And for people in Tennessee, and certainly folks in Middle Tennessee, you're just right down the road from Columbia. That's where all of their everything is processed right there. All their claims, everything else processed right here in Middle Tennessee. FBHealthPlans.com. Give them a look. Check them out. I think you'll find some things, like I did, that you'll like.
At Wilson Bank and Trust, our game plan in the community includes supporting our local schools on the gridiron and in the classroom. When it comes to buying or improving your home, we can help your family with those game plans too. From personal loans to mortgages, our lending experts are with you every step of the way. Let us help you get your financial game plan together at wilsonbank.com or any of our 28 Middle Tennessee locations. Wilson Bank and Trust, member FDIC, equal housing lender.
Cosmetic dentistry, restorative dentistry, as specialized areas in dentistry as it gets. For over a decade and a half, Dr. Clint Newman has specialized in these two areas in Middle Tennessee. Located in Green Hills, online at clintnewmandds.com, Dr. Newman's vast experience coupled with his artistic eye has provided his highly valued patients incredible results. Check him out at ClintNewmanDDS.com. Restorative dentistry, cosmetic dentistry.
Improve your home or business and save big at Stover's Liquidation. Super thick 12-millimeter laminate, tons of styles in stock for only 79 cents per square foot. Luxury vinyl plank flooring, gigantic selection starting at just 49 cents per square foot. Hardwood flooring, Stover's Liquidation has it, huge quantities starting at just 99 cents per square foot. Save on appliances, cabinets, HVAC units, and all kinds of products you use every day. Stover's Liquidation, Antioch Cook. Bill in Oak Ridge. Shop online anytime at StoversLiquidation.com. Stovers.
You've heard me talk about American Home Design for a number of years on this show. During that time, my wife and I have had all of our windows replaced, our patio doors replaced, and our entry door replaced. Each time with the professionalism Don Bruce and American Home Design have guaranteed. If you need help in any of these areas and more, let American Home Design help you like they did me. Online at American Home Design or stop by and see them at 880 Conference Drive in Goodlettsville. They're also open Saturdays from 10 to 5 and Sunday from 1 to 5.
Forklift Systems Football Saturday continues as Doug is joined by Mr. College Football Tully Barnhart. Presented by Strouds Barbecue. You're never more than a pooch punt away from a Strouds location. And by Tennessee Steel Haulers. Online at iDriveTSH.com.
Billy the Legend Justice will join us at 10:30. We'll be talking NCAA basketball, two segments with Bill. By the way, Vandy hosts Tennessee today, 5 o'clock here Central Time in Nashville. We'll be catching up with all the SEC on that. What else have we got? Tony will be on. Todd Berry's going to join us. I'm going to get into what he's going to be talking about here right as we talk with Tony about what's going on. Tony, let's talk a little bit about Georgia. Jake Fromm leaves. I'll kind of get your thoughts on that. Nobody knows more or covers Georgia better than Tony Barnhart does. Right after that, maybe by accident, maybe it's something that they might think was going to happen. Jamie Newman, who's Jamie Newman? 3-year starter at quarterback for Wake Forest. Coach Dave Clawson over there. Tony, it appears to be a little departure just outside looking in offensive from an offensive standpoint. Jamie Newman is not – Jake Fromm, and I'm talking about nope. not that style of quarterback. Georgia also hired a new quarterback coach, former offensive coordinator at Oklahoma State, Todd Monken. Tell us what's going on at Georgia.
Doug, I think at the end of the day, Kirby Smart understood that he was going to have to do something with his offense. The offense, from a production standpoint, it was okay, but it wasn't special. It wasn't good enough to beat the better to beat the LSUs of the world. Jake Fromm, there's no question that he took a step back this year. Part of that was the offensive line. Part of that was their lack of experience at wide receiver. There were a whole bunch of reasons. I believe, based at the end of the day, Kirby Smart knew he was going to have to make some changes, bringing in the new offensive coordinator, really changing the style of play to put the RPOs in there. And, of course, they get Jamie Newman, who's probably the best dual-threat quarterback that was in the transfer portal. And so I think when all that came to be, then Jake Fromm said, you know what, it's probably better that I move on. I also believe he heard back from some general managers, and there is a shot now that he could be taken in the bottom half of the first round. And that's to me, that's new information. I always saw him as a second round guy. So
let me ask you this: here's what I heard you saying. Correct me if I'm wrong on this. That Newman was coming before Fromm left. Correct?
I don't know that.
But you think
I don't
that.
Know that. I think that, yes.
And you, from what I hear you saying, that Fromm probably felt like that Georgia was going to do some different things on offense. Fair to say?
Mm-hmm. I think that was the case.
Let's lead into one other thing on this. Where does that leave current offensive coordinator James Coley, who, by the way, I don't know that this is 100% accurate because I don't know that much about Georgia, but certainly the feeling last year around this time was when Jim Chaney came back to Tennessee, a lot of it had to do with the fact that he felt like, at least, that Kirby Smart wanted James Coley to keep James Coley, and being the play caller quarterback coach was the only way to do that. Is that a fair assessment?
I think that is a fair assessment. Excuse me. He absolutely wanted to keep James Coley because Coley's a good football coach, and he's also one of their very, very best recruiters. And so that was very, very important to him. But there's no doubt that Georgia missed Jim Chaney.
How's this going to work out? Do you have two coordinators now?
Oh, no. I think what's going to happen, based on the reporting I've read in other places, that Todd Monken is going to be the offensive coordinator, but James Coley will retain the title of assistant head coach and be an offensive assistant. That is what the reporting that I've read out of the Atlanta Journal-Constitution has said.
I'm not going to get you to comment on this because of your situation there, but this to me, and knowing how the coaching profession works, this looks like a non-verbal admission to Kirby Smart that maybe he made a mistake last year. Again, I don't want you to comment on that, Tony, because that's all speculation. But, hey, I like to speculate, particularly about an SEC East rival of the University of Tennessee. Anyway, by the way, and I want to mention this, too. This situation with Newman coming over, I don't want anybody to think anything bad about this at all. That's the rule is right now that if you have graduated, you don't even have to tell the school that you're leaving.
No.
You can go to the portal and everything is fair game. But here's the problem, and we're going to talk with Todd Berry about this. Again, I encourage any of you all who are really deeply interested in college football to listen. I'm going to have Todd Berry on here for two segments. Todd is the executive director of the American Football Coaches Association. We've had him on before. He's a personal friend of mine. He was a grad assistant at Tennessee when I was there, out from Northeast Oklahoma, where I'm from. And there is concern, not fear, but concern that this transfer situation, not as much, or really not much at all from a grad transfer, but the undergrad transfer, there's a big concern in the coaching circles and in the college football circles, not just coaching, that is turning into a problem that could develop into a big problem. We're going to talk with Todd about that. Two segments with him. I think you'll enjoy it. I've been visiting with him on this. He's going to come on and after the coaches' convention last week and kind of tell where his job, Todd's job, Tony, as head of the American Football Coach Association. Coaches aren't going to speak out on this. Athletic directors aren't going to speak out on this. Athletic departments aren't going to speak out on this. that's Todd's job to kind of put this thing together. And again, I think people will find it very, very interesting on that. If you got a thought on that, go ahead. But if not, we'll move on.
Well, this is the what I would call the new normal. Okay, kids leaving. The key to all of this, Doug, if it's a non-graduate transfer, the key is how many of these kids are going to get waivers and how many people are going to lawyer up in order to get waivers. Ultimately, that determines the level of damage that is done. And keep your eye on that. Because remember early on when Justin Fields and the kid that transferred from Ohio State to Miami, They got waivers right away, and then the NCAA sort of backed off and said, well, let's talk about this some more. To me, that's always the key. How many guys get waivers?
Well, and I think for everybody that follows this even at a distance can see where a young man leaving and asking for a waiver, once we get to the part, and we're going to get to, this is one thing I came out of my visit with Todd Berry on this, and then also an athletic director in this league. I think everybody in college football, and this will filter all the way down to every other sport in college, realizes that some form of paying athletes for their likeness that's going to happen. It's just a matter
yes.
of, and it's going to happen relatively quickly, and they're trying to get their arms around some type of legislation where it's not literally the Wild West. That's going to happen. And from Todd's perspective and the coach's perspective, that's when you can have other programs talking to players playing for other programs about transferring, and then now you're getting into a whole different ball game. So anyway, we'll talk with Todd about that, and then maybe next week, Tony, you and I can visit with on that a little bit. Southeastern Conference, we mentioned Joe Burrow leaving. Tony, you followed this league a long time. This is one of the very best years that I can recall for quarterbacks in the Southeastern Conference. Certainly there were some teams that didn't have one, a very good one, or I shouldn't say a very good one, a high-quality one, and they paid the price for it. But a lot of good quarterbacks in this league, and we're losing three of the best this year at least.
Yeah, I was trying to think when we've had another year, when we've had three possible top-round draft choices. The SEC, since the merger of the NFL and AFL in 67, SEC's never had two quarterbacks taken in the first round.
But just hold on there just a second. Just think about that, folks. That's 52 years ago. 52 years ago, 53, coming up 53 years ago. The Southeastern Conference, for all the great players, and when you think back to the players quarterbacks who eventually went on and became great, Namath and Stabler and names like that. Just think about that. Archie Manning. SEC had never had two quarterbacks taken in the first round in 52 years. That's hard to believe, isn't it? I'd lost my house on that if I'd have been betting.
When I was doing the research and saw it, I went, oh, man. But the fact is that they've always had one great quarterback, but the other quarterbacks are – as a matter of fact, Doug, there was another thing I saw. I think of that there's another list in our notes about the number one quarterbacks taken in the NFL draft from the SEC.
Yeah.
Over the years.
Since 98, there's been six of them. That's right.
Well, the rest of that I did not include is that in those 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, and only in two cases was another quarterback even drafted in the entire NFL draft. There was one like in the 7th round and one somewhere else. And 4 out of those 6 years, there wasn't even a second quarterback drafted, period. So there's no question the quarterback position is changing in this conference as more and more teams are going to adopt the up-tempo spread offense.
Different game. Now, I know you didn't do the research on it, but there were a lot of running backs drafted.
A ton.
This was pretty much a running league. All right, we'll take another break. We'll come back with Tony and get into some of the things going on, in college football, but Southeastern Conference. By the way, those 6, kind of interesting. And if you throw his daddy in there, of course, that is their daddy in there. 2 of those 6, a third of those six were named Mannings. And, of course, Archie was back. That was pre-1998, when we changed the way kind of the game was played as far as national championships were picked on that. So, anyway, more with Tony when we come back. Hey, when was the last time you did something fun with your family and friends, even your coworkers, even maybe people that you weren't friendly with? Well, bowling is one of the things that really unites almost everybody. I don't know anybody that doesn't like to bowl. Now, maybe some don't bowl a whole lot, but it's fun, kind of like roller skating, only easier. Roller skating is tough to do, man. I've still got a knot on my leg from 50-something, speaking about 52 years ago. Anyway, that's another subject. Strike and Spare Family Entertainment. Larry Smitto's put together a group, five centers right here in Middle Tennessee, by the way, that incorporates everything that you like to do to have fun. Bowling, absolutely. But more than that, games. Maybe you got some, while you're bowling, you got some kids that you need to have something to go over there and play the couple of those games over there. Great food, entertainment for all, drink, whatever you need. So if you're looking for a place for a gathering, you just want to get out of the house for a while, go online, strikeandspare.com. Again, they got five Middle Tennessee locations. They're open every holiday. How many times, I just speak for myself in the past, holidays, home, need to get out, don't have anywhere to go? Well, you do now. Strike and Spare Family Entertainment, that's the place, 7 days a week. And remember, there's never a bad time for a good time at Strike and Spare Family Fun Centers.
This is Shelby Boynt Cunningham with Mid-10 Ford, your one-stop truck shop. My family has been selling and servicing Fords in Middle Tennessee for four generations. We specialize in alignment repairs on anything from a car to a full-size RV or heavy-duty truck. Visit Mid-10 Ford's Power Stroke Diesel Parts and Service Center. We are your Ford Commercial Vehicle Center. Let our family take care of your family here at Mid-10 Ford or mid10fordtrucks.com. That's mid10fordtrucks.com.
At Double Dogs, you may come for the game, but you'll stay for the food. Your favorite sports bar is also the perfect place for lunch, dinner, or a post-game snack. Enjoy Hebrew National Chili Dog, Barbecue Bacon Cheeseburger, Crispy Homemade Onion Rings, Dog Bowl Nachos, and much, much more. Double Dogs has something for everyone, including the kids. So whether you're coming for nine innings, four quarters, or three periods, bring your appetite. Sit, stay, eat at Double Dogs in Hillsborough Village on Charlotte Avenue at 40th and Bowling Green.
Global Motorsports, Inc. has consolidated their three locations into one for the convenience of their loyal customers. More choices at one location, just off the I-65 Moores Lane exit. You still get that small boutique environment with a staff well-versed in the multiples of late model luxury import automobiles. Test drive 1-10 or every car on the lot, make your decision, and 20 minutes later, you'll be walking out with the keys to your luxury vehicle. Now one convenient location in Cool Springs off Moores Lane and I-65.
At Lazy Boy Furniture Gallery, you'll be blown away by the huge selection of Lazy Boy recliners in fabric and leather, but also by the sofas, sleep sofas, sectionals, and motion upholstery. And if you need help designing an entire room around Lazy Boy Furniture, we've got a home design program, and we'll come to your house and put it all together free. I'm Mike Keith, encouraging you to check out any of the three area Lazy Boy Furniture Galleries, Cool Springs, Hendersonville, and now in Murfreesboro at Medical Center Parkway in front of Embassy Suites.
What happens to your decision-making when you drink? Well, after one drink, you feel confident. A few more, and calling your ex at 1 a.m. seems like a great idea. And you're pretty sure the secret to a great taco is four-day-old macaroni. The bottom line, drunk you doesn't make great decisions. So you're risking a DUI or worse if you count on him to get you home. Plan before you party. Get home safe. Paid for by the Tennessee Highway Safety Office.
What if I told you that 15 minutes on a new fitness technology called Mandu would produce the same strength and fitness results as 6 to 8 hours of lifting weights? EMS, or electrical muscle stimulation, has been popular for years in Europe, and after recent approval from the FDA, it's being offered to Middle Tennesseans. Mandu uses a small electrical current to tighten and strengthen your muscles as you perform a series of flexing and stretching moves. Get all the information on this new exciting technology at Mandu.com. MANDUU.com.
71 degrees all the way.
73 degrees, please.
So what's your perfect degree of comfort? We'll help you find it with professional Rheem HVAC service that'll keep your home comfy year-round, save on energy costs, and may qualify for utility rebates and tax credits. So enjoy a new degree of comfort.
72 degrees, and I'm good to go.
Count on Rheem to provide great service on all brands of equipment. Visit Rheem.com to locate a Rheem dealer near you.
Forklift Systems Football Saturday continues as Doug is joined by Mr. College Football Tony Barnhart. Presented by Strouts Barbecue. You're never more than a pooch punt away from a Strouts location. And by Tennessee Steel Haulers. Online at iDriveTSH.com.
We'll get to Tony here in just a second. I was looking at the clock here. 10 o'clock. We're about 23 minutes from 10 o'clock. That's when McPherson's Menswear opens up. They're open from 9 to 6 Monday through Saturday. They got a great deal going on right now. They got their winter sale. You can get great buys and free things with other things that you purchase. 5920 Charlotte Pike. That's two blocks west of Whitebridge Road. You can go online at McPhersonsClothing.com. Men's clothing, that's it, and accessories for men that want to look good. Hey, we all want to look good, don't we? Ballin Pant, Harsh Aftermarks, Peter Millar, just some of the great brands. So stop by and see them. Great deals that after Christmas holiday sale still going on. They call it their winter sale at McPherson's Menswear. 5920 Charlotte Pike, two blocks west of Whitebridge Road. Tony always comes up with some of these interesting, well, most everything he does is interesting. Some kind of piqued my interest a little bit. I was just kind of looking. Just think if you're in the SEC West now, all right? Folks, just if you have a team that you follow or teams that you follow in the SEC West, just imagine you're there right now. I want you to just think about something. Mike Leach coming in to Mississippi State. And Sam Pittman, who is going from Georgia, longtime, highly respected assistant coach, he is going to Arkansas. Those two guys, here's what they're facing. The other five coaches in this league have coached as an assistant and or a head coach for national championship winning programs. That's pretty salty stuff, Tony.
Well, you want a coach that knows what a national championship team looks like, okay? And when you're talking about this group of coaches, I mean, you're talking about Nick Saban, who has won six. You're talking about Gus Malzahn, who is the offensive coordinator on one national championship team and coached Auburn to the national championship game, came within 30 seconds of winning that national championship. Lane Kiffin coached on a couple at USC. Coached on one at Alabama. Ed Orgeron, Doug, has five national championship rings. Two at USC, two at Miami, and now one at LSU. That ain't too bad. And then of course there's Mike Leach, who hadn't been in the national championship, but his quarterbacks are still at all the top of the records.
You know, I was kind of thinking as I read this, Tony sends me notes on things. I was just thinking, I don't know that the SEC West coaches ever just meet as a unit, a group. Well, I don't think they probably do. They meet with, maybe they do. But, you know, that Saban commercial, I think it's with Progressive, where he has those rings on his finger. I was just thinking, what? Orgeron's got five of them he can put on.
That's right.
Saban
That's right.
has six. You know, that would be kind of interesting if I'm sure that'll never. None of these guys have a high ego, so that probably
probably
would never happen on that. Having said that, of all the things that have gone on in the off season, including the national championship game, including talk to anybody who's saying this, at least from my standpoint, or talking out of something other than their mouth about Alabama, you know, suddenly going to be taking a pretty big nosedive. Before you say that, you need to go look at that. The roster that's coming back there. But having said that, you know what everybody wants to talk about up here in Middle Tennessee? Mike Leach.
What's that? Oh, yeah. Mike Leach. Absolutely.
And a little bit Lane Kiffin, but primarily how are they going to react to it? But Mike Leach coming in here, there's Tennessee fans that think that the second biggest non-decision that Tennessee made was not hiring Mike Leach, maybe the number one, but he brings I don't know exactly what Mississippi State was hoping to get out of this. Want to get an excellent football coach primarily, but I think even they are getting more than they thought they were going to get.
Mike Leach, he is who he is. He has always moved the needle, no matter where he's been. He's been at Valdosta State or been at Texas Tech or been at Washington State. His teams have always moved the ball. He has always found a quarterback who could throw for 300 plus yards a game, didn't matter who it was. The most recent kid, not this year's quarterback, but the one before, and his name escapes me at the minute, but that kid was going to Alabama to be the number three quarterback. That's what he was going to. He was at East Carolina and was looking for a place to go, and Alabama offered him the opportunity to come there to be the third string quarterback. And then Mike Leach suddenly needed a quarterback, and he brought the kid in, and he like led the nation in passing. It just so it's going to be fun. I don't know how many games they're going to win, but it's going to be fun. It's going to be entertaining.
Well, Alabama's got at least three guys there that are thought to be excellent. Progressing quarterbacks. I wonder which one of those three were going to move down to fourth.
Good point.
Maybe
good point.
By the way, kind of interesting on this. I when I first heard this, my ears perked up, and then I saw that there was a junior after it. Steve Spurrier is joining the staff at the Mississippi State as an assistant coach, right?
That's right. That is right.
Steve Spurrier Jr. That is on that.
Better known as Bubba.
Bubba. Yeah. So. Well, his daddy calls him. I bet his mama doesn't call him Bubba, but maybe.
No.
Kind of an interesting note, too. Mike Leach offered a quarterback from Brandon, Mississippi, what, a year ago, I think. Mm-hmm. Will Rogers, a scholarship to come to Washington State. He said, no, coach, don't know, don't think I want to come. I don't know if that's what he said, but let's make this good. He signed with Mississippi State, and guess what? He's coaching – he's going to be coached now by the guy he told he wasn't going to come see him. So
how about that?
And I think Leach kind of had a different view of it, didn't he?
He said, yeah, I caught up with him. Okay. he didn't want to come to Pullman. I came to him. And now, you know, obviously they like this kid. The Schrader kid who was the starting quarterback at the end of the year didn't play in the bowl game because of that controversial fight and all that kind of stuff. This guy's he's got a big arm, so – I think they're going to throw it. And here's the other thing, Doug, with Mike Leach. Bit of a surprise this week. Kylan Hill, running back, Mississippi State, led the conference in rushing, over 1,300 yards, announced that he was coming back. And I believe he wanted to come back because he wanted to play for Mike Leach in this offense where he throws the ball to everybody. And he felt like that was going to help him in his desire to go to the NFL. And I think he's probably right about that.
Well, let me tell you why he's not staying there. He's not staying there to get 20 rushes a game.
That's exactly right.
There will not be 20 rushes
a game. No.
The only way Mike Leach's team gets to 20 losses is if the quarterback gets sacked 10 times because that counts as 10 rushes in college. Gosh, I'm probably a little bit off on that. But anyway, let's hit a couple other things before we take a break. Oregon set to hire Joe Moorhead as offensive coordinator. We really didn't get to know Joe Moorhead very well.
No.
We've seen coaches that go places and get fired, very common, and turn around. Well, look at Ed Orgeron. They go back be an assistant, hopefully be a coordinator, and then they kind of refuel and refire and come back. Did you get to know Moorhead at all?
I had a chance to visit with him in his office twice. I would run into him at the spring meetings. I first met him his first pro day in the March right after he got there. He walked up to me and said, "Hey, Tony, I'm Joe Moorhead. I'm glad you're here." And we had a great visit. Very engaging. He says, I said, "I promise you, I'm gonna start drinking sweet tea soon. I've got everything figured out. I now know the difference between y'all and all y'all and all that kind of stuff." So I thought he embraced the culture, but things, you know, Doug, you know this, coach. Sometimes coaching things don't work out. It's not a fit, and it's just. It was just a bizarre. I mean, you thought after they won the Egg Bowl that maybe things would calm down, but then you had another episode. And two things happened, Doug, and why Joe Moorhead's not there. They had that fight where Schrader could not play in the bowl game, and then somebody named Lane Kiffin came along down in Oxford.
Yep.
Those two things, I believe, prompted that change.
You know, that fight that happened, of course, the quarterback didn't play in the game because of that. or at least that's what we've been told, probably true on that. I the more I've talked to some of the folks that are really know that program pretty well, that really had a big deal. Maybe the cherry on top, maybe, I don't know, would be the way to put it. But anyway, on that. By the way, I can tell you this. I have recruited Oregon. He won't be saying y'all up in Oregon very much at all. Or as Lou Holtz used to say, Oregon.
Oregon.
Anyway. All right, we'll take our last break. Come back in this hour, back with Tony for another segment, so stay right here with us. You know, everybody experiences pain from time to time. I certainly have and will and do. Occasionally, I need a physical therapist. Well, to me, that is STAR Physical Therapy, STAR Physical Therapy. But, you know, we have insurance and things like that, and how do you apply things and things like that? Well, that's where STAR can help. But just know this. You can choose where you want to go for physical therapy. Nobody can tell you where you want to go. You can choose wisely because your health, and if your family members go, the health of your family is important. And you can choose a physical therapist that is going to sit down with you, and I can tell you that's what they do, sit down with you and figure out what's best for you and what benefit and what treatments you need for you. So when you get around to choosing, think about and study STAR Physical Therapy. I think you will choose them. You know, they have over 65 locations right here in Tennessee, one near you. You can figure out where they are, find out where they are, closest one to you at strpt.com. Again, at strpt.com. And remember, it's your health. It's STAR's hands. So choose STAR.
The reason that Walker Chevrolet has been around for as long as they have has more to do with their attitude than anything else. And that attitude is that Walker Chevrolet isn't number one. Their customers are number one. It's service and Walker's ability to match their customers with what they want. From sales to service, Walker's trained staff look out for what has kept them serving Franklin and the surrounding communities for 92 years. The customer, Walker Chevrolet. Franklin, exit 65 off I-65 at walkerchevrolet.com.
Serious injury? Well, that's serious business, and no one takes it more seriously than Cody Allison and Associates. For nearly two decades, representing clients in truck accident, auto accident, and workers' compensation cases, returning clients' calls the same day or early the next day, keeping their clients informed, well, that's the Cody Allison way. Communication with clients about the status of their case? That's the Cody Allison way. Simply pick up the phone and call 615-234-6000. Also online at CodyAllison.com.
Extra! Extra! Read all about it, folks! Feast your eyes on the most fascinating thing you've ever seen! The new special edition Jumbo Box! That's right! Extra! Extra! Hot off the press, these special edition Jumbo Box games are loaded with prizes and sweeping the state! Hurry, get him while you can!
I'll take one right here.
Hot off the press, special edition Jumbo Bucks instant games, only from the Tennessee Lottery. Game-changing fun. Please play responsibly.
You know,
Forklift Systems Football Saturday continues as Doug is joined by Mr. College Football, Tony Barnhart. Presented by Strouds Barbecue. You're never more than a food spun away from a Strouds location. And by Tennessee Steel Haulers. Online at iDriveTSH.com.
Tony, let's kind of end up the show. Tony, again, will just be on with us for 1 hour today. Again, Todd Berry at the top of the hour, American Football Coaches Association. If you're interested in what's going on in the from a perspective of the college football coaches, where they see the direction of this sport going, and from a college perspective, you'll want to listen to that. And, of course, at the bottom of the hour, the 10 o'clock hour, Billy the Legend will be talking a little basketball. Tony, kind of taking a look at let's kind of end the year's ended now. We're going to get ready to move into through the 2020 season. It's actually begun right now. From a recruiting standpoint and looking at recruiting and where things are, let's talk just a little bit about the top teams. We're going to start with LSU and hit the top programs. We're in the top 10 and top 20 in the Southeastern Conference. Let's just talk a little bit about where, after recruiting, what we know now. There's still a few programs still have maybe one or two or three scholarships left, but for the most part, recruiting's done. You know, the first Wednesday in February is going to be another recruiting, but there's only going to be a few signed on that. Looking at that, let's just kind of hit real quickly. LSU losing a lot of players again, a lot of underclassmen. a few seniors. Looks like they've rebuilt, though, or at least have had another really good recruiting year. Where do you see LSU right now? Where's LSU different than they were 4 or 5 years ago?
Well, they're different in the sense that, of course, they've made the commitment to throw the ball down the field.
That's the biggest thing, isn't it?
Yeah, well, it is. Because they, as you know, Les Miles was stubborn, and he wouldn't do it, and eventually got him fired. And I had a conversation with Coach O at some point. I just said, you can't go back now. He says, no, we can't go back. This is our offensive identity. So the key is finding, of course, the quarterback to pull the trigger. It looks like Miles Brennan now, who's been in the program for 2 or 3 years.
Didn't play much, did he?
No, but he's very talented.
Yeah.
A lot of people wanted that guy. So can they make the transition? Can Steve Ensminger, who continues to be the offensive coordinator, they'll bring somebody in for that position that Joe Brady vacated. But Steve Ensminger, everybody was calling 90% of the plays. So it's not like all that knowledge goes away with Joe Brady. But that will be the key. Just think of what the expectations are going to be on Miles Brennan. Can you? Somebody pointed this out last night. He said, you realize that if Miles Brennan throws for 40 touchdown passes next year, he'll still be 20 short of Joe Burrow's record? Wow.
Interesting. And with that goes, who's going to be calling those passing plays? Ensminger is the coordinator. And really, to my way of thinking, does not get the credit. You know, everybody gives Joe Brady the credit, and rightfully so for some things. But Ensminger's a guy that put that put the game plan together, actually called the plays on it. Certainly, Joe Brady had a big input. So I guess the question would be, Tony, who's going to take that position that Joe Brady had? Do we have any idea right now?
No idea right now. But it's going to be somebody who has a great working knowledge of this kind of offense. And you know, Brady and Ensminger worked together. They consulted, and Brady would say, "Hey, look, you know, we just ran this. This might work well after that, and let's keep this." And so he was always bouncing ideas off of Ensminger.
Let me build on that a little bit. I can't tell you. I think I mentioned this a week or so ago. I can't tell you how unusual it is for a coordinator who has been a coordinator program to accept somebody coming in who could upsert your authority just a little bit, if not more than that, and accept that. That tells you a little bit about Ensminger, who he's as LSU as anybody's ever been. But that was impressive on it. Okay, let's move here. We got just a few more minutes here on this. Georgia, a lot of play, much like LSU, losing a quarterback, losing a lot of other players. Mm-hmm. You just mentioned, though, Georgia, a relatively young football team. Where do you see Georgia? And, by the way, replacing a couple of coordinators again, or coordinator again, one.
That's right. And obviously, by bringing in Monken, they're doing what Ed Orgeron did. They are committing to expanding the offense and putting some juice in the offense. Now the key is Jamie Newman the answer at quarterback? They're bringing in Carson Beck from Jacksonville, who's one of the more highly recruited quarterbacks in the country, originally committed to Alabama. And so is that the answer? The receivers are going to grow up. We saw what Pickens did in the bowl game in the Sugar Bowl. So they're going to – and Georgia has always had running backs. The defense will, again, be very, very good. So right now, you know, I'm sort of leaning towards Florida because they don't have any questions at quarterback. But that will be an interesting discussion as we get into the summer.
Florida.
Quarterback back, bunch of wide receivers back, coaching staff intact unless Todd Grantham, the defensive coordinator, gets a late offer from the NFL. So I think the Gators are feeling pretty good about life right now. They are steadily moving forward, and they are closing the gap on Georgia. No doubt about that.
Those three teams in the final AP poll, at least, were in the top 10, as was Alabama. Now, Alabama, just hit Alabama real quick, and I think we know the answer there. But what are you seeing from Alabama?
Well, the question is, does a quarterback job go to Mac Jones, who replaced Tua at the end of the year and played pretty well, I thought.
Yeah, he did.
But you have Bryce Young, depending on who you ask, the either number one or number two high school quarterback in America coming from California to Alabama. And is this guy the next Tua? Can he crack the starting lineup as a true freshman? Alabama's got some options, and they've got plenty of play. And they're going to be Dylan Moses coming back on defense after missing all of this year with an injury. He is their war daddy at that middle linebacker position. So I like what I see in Alabama. I really do.
Well, it's going to be really – to say it's going to be interesting is kind of – anybody can say that. But if you look at it right now, just talking about those positions, Auburn got a quarterback coming back that shows flashes of being excellent.
Mm-hmm.
Texas A&M, ditto for them. We know that Ole Miss has a couple of quarterbacks, got a coach who can coach them as well as anybody in the country. LSU, a lot of talent coming back. I guess the one you got to kind of feel sorry for, if you feel sorry in this business, is Arkansas is still way, way down looking up, aren't they?
They are, and Sam Pittman said it best when during his introductory press conference. He said, folks, there are no shortcuts. The only way out of this is to recruit your way out of it. And he's telling the truth when he says that.
What was it old Patino said about the Celtics? Larry Bird and Kevin McHale ain't coming through that
door. They ain't walking through that door, buddy.
They can walk through that door right now. So, anyway, speaking of someone that sounds like Patino, Bobby Petrino back in coaching again.
You know, he's always one of those guys that's going to find a place to coach in
Missouri State, Springfield, Missouri. There's nothing. I grew up 75 miles from Springfield, Missouri.
Wow.
The nearest thing to Springfield, Missouri is Joplin, Missouri, which is about 30,000 people, and Fayetteville, Arkansas. And there's not a whole lot of players that Missouri State's going to get out of either one of those programs. So more power to him.
Indeed.
Buddy, thanks so much.
All right, fun as always. Let's talk next week, okay?
We will do it. Appreciate it. All right, we're going to take our top of the hour break. Todd Berry, Executive Director of the American Football Coach Association, will be with us when we come back.
Extra! Extra! Read all about it, folks! Feast your eyes on the most fascinating thing you've ever seen! The new special edition Jumbo Box! That's right! Extra! Extra! Hot off the press, these special edition Jumbo Box games are loaded with prizes and sweeping the state! Hurry! Get them while you can!
Ooh, I'll take one.
Hot off the press, special edition Jumbo Box instant games, only from the Tennessee Lottery. Game-changing fun. Please play responsibly.
This is Shelby Boynt Cunningham with Mid-10 Ford, your one-stop truck shop. My family has been selling and servicing Fords in Middle Tennessee for four generations. We specialize in alignment repairs on anything from a car to a full-size RV or heavy-duty truck. Visit Mid-10 Ford's Power Stroke Diesel Parts and Service Center. We are your Ford Commercial Vehicle Center. Let our family take care of your family here at Mid-10 Ford or mid10fordtrucks.com. That's mid10fordtrucks.com.
104.5 The Zone. Saturday morning sports talk continues with insight and analysis from some of the industry's best. This is Forklift Systems Football Saturday on 104.5 The Zone. Now, your host, former Tennessee coordinator, Doug Matthews.
Welcome back in Forklift Systems Football Saturday, your big lift each and every day of the week. That is Forklift Systems. All right, I've been talking about this all of the first hour. The executive director of the American Football Coaches Association, the Grand Poobah, the pride of Miami, Oklahoma, second best player to ever come out of Miami, Oklahoma, to my way of thinking. Had a Heisman Trophy winner there. Todd Berry joins us. Todd, and one of the best grad assistants ever up on the hill. How are you?
I appreciate it. I'm doing great, Doug. I appreciate the opportunity as always to come on your show. I was not the second best player in my high school history because I'm getting in the Hall of Fame this year in the Athletic Hall of Fame, but there was many more before me that got in before me. So obviously it's collective thought that I wasn't. So
one of the smartest things he ever did was he married a girl from Pitcher, Oklahoma, which
that is true.
Todd, let's get right to this. American Football Coaches Association was in Nashville this past week. A lot of things going on, and we're going to really drill down into where college football, the coaches part of it, is right now, when it comes to a couple of different things. We know this likeness. Everybody hears about this, and they've been talking about it. And, you know, it's kind of like talking about the Internet. You know, exactly what is it? How does it work? All those different things. We're going to get into that. But let's start with what's going on and has just been with us just for a couple of years now. And I want you just kind of – I'm going to give you the floor on this thing and kind of tell people where from – again, this is college coaches – American Football Coaches Association is all coaches from every level, but we're going to look at the NCAA college coaches and how the likeness legislation, how that kind of has melded into what started a couple of years ago in the transfer portal. So let's start with that, kind of talk about what your job is, what your position has to be as head of the Coaches Association, representing the college football coaches on that. So Let's start with that, and then I'll get into asking you a few questions.
Absolutely, and I'll try not to be boring, but let me first just give a great big thanks to the city of Nashville and the Gaylord. One of the reasons why we continue to come back to Nashville is our coaches love it, and we just have such a great experience. And when you start talking about, you know, 9,000 coaches hitting the city and all of us being in the same location, there's some intimacy about the Gaylord, and Nashville's always such a great host. But we do have a national convention every year to where we get together, and quite honestly, we discuss all the issues that pertain to sports. You know, the association was founded back in 1922 to basically protect the game, because at that point in time, they were talking about dropping football based off the number of deaths that were in the game. And so the AFCA was actually formed to try to find safety measures to make the game safer, and I think we continue to do that. We're the ones that, you know, change the kickoff and some of those type of things. And so we get into some very, very deep things. The subject matter that you're talking to, which is the transfer portal, along with this new name, image, and likeness, is quite honestly, it is very convoluted. There are a lot of things going on, and they all kind of tend to kind of tie themselves back together. Several years ago, the way that legislation is right now, and again, I'm going to try not to be boring, but just for clarity's sake, I think it's important to get some information out there, is a young person can transfer from one university to the other university as long as it's at a different level below the current one they play. And so, for instance, I can play at Tennessee and then transfer down to FCS program, Tennessee Tech, and I don't lose a year. I can get immediately eligible. I can also transfer as a graduate student. Many of our students now, because of going through summer school and especially, again, at the FBS level, we have a lot of students that are graduating in 3 years right now. So after 3 years, or when basically they graduate, not or, when they graduate, they can transfer anywhere they want to without any kind of exceptions. And it doesn't make any difference what level you're transferring to. The AFCA continues to support that because of both those concepts, because both of them we think are in the best interest of the student athlete. We also think that this is all, we're the last scholastic model out there. I keep saying this to everyone. All the other sports have gone to club models. And if you look at graduation rates and everything, ours continue to improve. And we still believe that this is supposed to be recruiting with a high school coach, and that the end result in this should be a degree that we've and again, we're not saying this as coaches. We're saying this as former student athletes, because all of us were. And so there's probably no group out there outside of the current student athletes that has a better window, an open window in relation to viewing this, because we were all student athletes. The only thing that we disagree with is the current waiver policy, because we think that the NCAA is not the big bad badge out there. They're just a bunch of people that are doing exactly what the membership is telling them to do. And the NCAA basically is the president of the university. The president of the university set up waivers that allowed for all these student athletes to be able to present their case. Well, what's happened is they've got a lot of third-party agents, lawyers, and they come in and they found ways, they understand how to work and manipulate the waiver system to get a waiver, to be immediately eligible if you're transferring up, okay, Tennessee Tech to Tennessee or Vanderbilt, or across, okay, Tennessee to Vanderbilt. And so consequently, because they found all that, then we've got more and more of these students that think that it's going to be automatic And at some point in time, again, every data point that we look at from an NCAA perspective basically says that if you transfer, you've lessened your opportunities to graduate. It doesn't matter what sport, it doesn't matter what sex, it doesn't matter what year you're in, what your GPA is, what your social demographic is, nothing, all of them drop. And we don't think that's the right thing for what we're supposed to be doing, that we're just basically allowing for this to happen. And it's really, really bad in some sports, not as bad in football. And we're still trying to protect this idea that football is about going to college and being a student athlete. We think that's something precious that we all got and that we would like to see others do the same. So what we've suggested is that there are no waivers, okay? Most of the time, if you're saying that you need a waiver because of parents being sick and you need to take them to, you need to get back closer to home, you need to take them to the doctor. Well, we don't want you having to worry about football during that. We're not saying you can't be on a scholarship. We're just saying set that year and get back to your health the way that it needs to be rather than manipulating the system. But when you graduate from that university, which is the end game anyway, we just want you to get, we'll say, let's get that year back. And so we'll end up with some sixth-year guys in this process, but we think it makes for a clean system rather than what we have right now, which is total chaos, people thinking they can transfer anywhere they want to and trying to transfer anywhere they want to. And obviously that gets very difficult when you start talking about the next subject that we're going to talk into is the name, image, and likeness. Hope I didn't bore too many people with that level of commitment to conversing about this whole really difficult subject matter.
Well, that's exactly why I asked Todd to come on, and he did so. And one thing, just a couple of things I want to highlight here. When you hear all of people talking about this, there's a big discussion about this. Rarely is there a day goes by that some of the sports talk shows or the national shows, the ESPNs, those folks, Fox, do not talk about this. But the thing that I think gets overlooked in this sometimes, they say, well, coaches want this and players want that. And what Todd said was so important. Every coach I know was a player. All right. So you went through this as a student athlete. I was a student athlete. I was a player in a SEC school at Vanderbilt. I went through the exact same things. Yes, it was a different era, but it was still, you're a student athlete. But you're also a coach, and you look at it from a different perspective on this. And, Todd, the thing that you hit on so heavily, I just want to wrap this part of it up, and then we'll move on. But the fact that the transfer portal and the transfer itself, the rules on that, that's really what you have to take a look at first before you take a look at this likeness and name and image and all those sorts of things. Because, and you correct me where I'm wrong, When we eventually get into the likeness issue and however it's going to be handled, essentially paying players to represent a company, when we get into that, that is going to have a direct effect or vice versa on players who either have or will transfer from one school to another.
I totally agree with that, Doug. And actually, one of my biggest concerns right now is that the NCAA is – because the name, image, and likeness piece is such a big piece, and because it is so defining about the direction that college athletics will go from here on out, is that we're missing the point a little bit that if we don't get this transfer thing nailed down before we get to where we want to be in the name, image, and likeness piece, is that, conceptually, you will be recruiting off other campuses. And that idea that any of those players that are on your university campus, that one that you love, is safe, they're not safe. Because all of a sudden, if you can, when money gets into the equation, basically people are just going to be buying players. And without any contracts, because either they're not employees, you're just going to have player moving from place to place to place to place to place based off of whatever that next year somebody wants to pay him. And again, to us, that's more of an employee professional model. That is not what everyone intended for this to be, which these are student athletes. And what we're saying is, hey, you're a student athlete. Okay, you're getting, as you well know, Doug, you've been around this, between a full ride in terms of scholarship, all you can eat, 24 hours a day at most programs. Okay, so this idea that someone's going home hungry, that's just, I can't even fathom that in relation to an FBS school. because they have 24-hour-a-day fueling stations at most of these places to where you can just go get snacks and beef jerky and those kind of things besides just the four meals that they provide. And then all of your college education paid for, all your books, all your fees, a cost of attendance, which is basically above and beyond. So that gives you another couple thousand dollars a semester to be able to buy toothpaste or, to get another cell phone besides the one that you have. You have the Student Athlete Opportunity Fund for those that are not as affluent kids, their parents aren't. And so obviously you can go down to wherever, Belk's, and get $500 worth of clothes for free, plus the Pell Grant, which a lot of our student athletes get, and they get the full amount, even though they're on full scholarship, they get the full amount in relation to that. And then you start talking about from the educational benefits, all the tutors that you could ever want. I mean, a laptop computer for free, anything relation to education along those lines. And so basically everything is kind of taken care of for you. And plus you're getting money on top of that. So that, you know, our student athletes, and I'm not saying this is wrong. They're getting a lot already in relation to that. But again, without any kind of contract, those players would be able to transfer wherever they wanted to for the best Pizza Hut deal they could get. And I don't want to get into just different brands, but the reality of it is that it will be a pay for play system.
When Todd comes back, we're going to hit this real quickly. Todd, I want you to address this when we come back, and then we're going to get into the name likeness situation. One of the, when you hear from the other side on this, and I'm not saying that in a negative standpoint, but the other side that are pushing this and pushing very hard, a lot of former players and some former coaches, but very few. It normally comes up with the fact that there is so much money that coaches are making, so much money, millions of dollars, in some instances tens of millions of dollars when you look at the life of a contract, what part that plays into it. And then we're going to get into the likeness thing. So again, Todd Berry back with us, the executive director of the American Football Coaches Association. As we go to break, let me talk to you about Global Motorsports. When I met Larry Thorne and talked to him about being on this show several years ago, I said, how would you describe your dealership? He said, well, pretty simple. It's a dealership for folks who don't like dealerships. He didn't say this. I even got the idea he didn't like his own dealership. But from this standpoint, they work with late model luxury import automobiles. What do we not like about dealerships? All the salesmanship and this and that and time it takes. Not so. Nothing like that at Global Motorsports. If you're looking for a late model luxury import automobile, you can go there, and in about 20 minutes after you can drive one car, two cars, 10 cars, every car on the lot by yourself. When you decide what you want to do, you can sit down, and in 20 minutes, you can work out walking out with the keys to that automobile. No back and forth with managers. You have to wait around for a finance manager. The person that meets you when you walk in is the person that's going to handle all of that for you. It's a small boutique environment with a very small staff. Again, luxury, late model, import automobiles. And you can find out about their location out at Moores Lane. They consolidate everything out there right now where they got all their automobiles on one location at globalmotorsportsinc.com. It's Cool Springs, Moores Lane. Stop by and see them.
71 degrees all the way.
73 degrees, please.
So what's your perfect degree of comfort? We'll help you find it with professional Rheem HVAC service that'll keep your home comfy year-round, save on energy costs, and may qualify for utility rebates and tax credits. So enjoy a new degree of comfort.
72 degrees, and I'm good to go.
Count on Rheem to provide great service on all brands of equipment. Visit Rheem.com to locate a Rheem dealer near you.
Luna Custom Homes is now building in the Grove. If you're contemplating building in the Grove, my buddy Jay Luna would love the opportunity to meet and talk with you. Jay believes in the Grove. In fact, he has made the Grove the primary location for Luna Custom Homes. In addition to the Grove, if you're looking for something closer to downtown Franklin, well, the Arlington on West Main is just the ticket. 10 one-level residencies just two blocks from Starbucks. The Grove and the Arlington, all from Luna Custom Homes. 50 years building top quality homes in Williamson County.
Sports fans, this is Lucy Bartorf with Frederick and Clark Realty. If you're thinking of buying or selling a home in the Middle Tennessee area, you need an experienced agent. For over two decades, I have worked with people just like you, helping navigate both buyers and sellers in this aggressive market. New neighborhoods are springing up all over. Traffic concerns are so important. That's where my experience can help. Contact Lucy Bottorff of Frederick and Clark Realty at iSellNashvilleRealEstate.com.
This is Todd Tressler, owner and founder of Tressler & Associates PLLC. I believe in challenging the status quo of the entire legal profession. I believe in surrounding yourself with givers in every aspect of your life. I just happen to have 100 years of generational real estate knowledge and 10 years of entrepreneurial experience that continues to provide the foundation for my boutique law firm that's secured the peace of mind of our family and friends since 2009. Contact us at TresslerAssociates.com to let us secure your peace of mind.
This is Doug Matthews.
And this is Dave McGinnis.
We both know a little bit about the X's and O's of football.
But when it came to understanding the gaps not covered by Medicare, we turned to our friends at Farm Bureau Health Plans.
They can coach you through the ABCs of Medicare.
Did you know Medicare doesn't cover everything?
You still have to pay coinsurance and deductibles, and Medicare doesn't cover prescription drugs, dental, or vision.
And that's why you've always got the home field advantage with Farm Bureau Health Plans.
To find out more and how to enroll, just go to Farm Bureau Health Plans at fbhealthplans.com.
This is Forklift Systems Football Saturday. Tune in tomorrow at 8 as Doug hosts Big Orange Sunday.
Todd Berry with us one more segment, the executive director of the American Football Coaches Association. All coaches from Pee Wee all the way up through the pros. They represent all of those, many of those, not every single one, but many that are members. And we're talking today about the NCAA college football part of it. Todd, give me just a few thoughts on, you know, one of the things that's always brought up with, listen, coaches are making so much money now, hundreds of thousands for assistant. True, no doubt about that. And head football coaches. That seems to be where the argument kind of starts on this. Give me a thought on that.
Yeah, there's no question that we're certainly making more money now than ever. And obviously, Doug, whenever we first got into this, you weren't doing it because of being able to make money, because you just wanted to help kids. And we still have that kind of thought, I think, that resonates within our group. But there is money to be had out there. Now, granted, only, you know, in our membership, only 10% are making that six digit, you know, it's just really the high FBS level guys. It's not the majority of our group, which is the high school group through the NFL. But yeah, there's certainly some more money to be had. Now, as you well know, Doug, because of your associations with universities and understanding, the university also gives, football makes a significant amount of money for the university. It not only in terms of just the general academics there on campus, as you know, when we were at the University of Tennessee, that library was basically built with football. But the other thing that it does is it allows for all of the other sports to be funded well, and for those other sports that are non-revenue sports, those ones that don't have the attendance, for those student athletes to have some of the same experiences that the football athlete has, and certainly further, I think, contributes to Title IX in relation to allowing for the female sports. And Tennessee has a few that do make money, but for most universities, that's not the case and allows those female athletes to have some of the same benefits. So there is certainly an awful lot of money to be had in it, and there's no question, I'm not going to argue that. I think that it is a very competitive business because of the amount of money that's out there. Believe me, athlete directors and university presidents wouldn't be paying these coaches the amount of money that they're paying them right now without understanding about the significant amounts of money, not just through ticket sales and TV revenues and all that kind of thing, but in booster donations that a football program, a winning program, can have for you. And so that brings up, well, why can't the student athletes benefit from that? And I recognize that, and I would argue back that they are. But and they're getting a significant amount, as we said this last segment. And what we're also saying is that if that's not enough, then go on. Go do something else that allows for you to benefit off your name, image, and likeness, if it is truly that valuable. And so we don't want to get in the way of that as coaches. We're not saying that. We're just saying that student athletes should be truly student athletes. And I would argue the case that regardless at Vanderbilt or the University of Tennessee, Memphis, Middle Tennessee State, all those programs there that people are going to those games, partly because they like football, but more importantly because they want to support their institution. They want to support State U. It's unlike the NFL in the sense that you're going to an NFL game to potentially not just watch football, but to see a particular player. But in college, because they turn over, obviously, every 3-4 years, then you're going because of, not because of who the starting quarterback is, but because you're supporting State U. And you could go throughout several in the SEC that got injured this year, and I didn't see the attendance drop at all when all of a sudden those people weren't playing, as you do in the NFL. People come to college events because they're supporting State U, and that's why we want our student athletes to do the same, is to feel that love for their education and their university and so on, the way that we had that same opportunity to do.
Well, just personal observation. Again, this is my personal feeling, not saying it's Todd's or anybody else's, but here's what I know from being part of this for so many years and also studying for so many years. One of the best things that ever happened in athletics was Title IX. It was something that needed to happen, and because of that, we have seen an explosion of women opportunities for young girls become women and women's sports. But the fact of the matter is that if all these changes are made, the reason that universities can give scholarships to not only women sports, but everything other really than football and basketball, a few instances baseball, the only reason they can do that is because the football makes so much money. These institutions would not have these sports, would not have the number of athletes if they had to self-fund those from donations raised the university system on that. They wouldn't have nearly as many. So part of this is, and I know this is can be a jaundiced view sometimes, but part of the reason that I think coaches like Todd was a former player and coach, a head football coach, a couple of different places, including the U.S. Military Academy at West Point. But is because they really care about this. I care about it, but I'm not in a position to make any type of changes on this. But so that is probably a discussion we'll have for a later date, Todd. But let's just we got about 5 minutes left here. Let's just kind of hit on, tell us where this, as much as I look at this and study this and understand it, I don't know have any idea where this likeness and name recognition and all that is going. Where do you see that right now? I believe you told me there's 30 states who have either passed legislation or looking to pass legislation to have this likeness compensation. California's already done it. I think Florida's already done it. Just kind of tell us as simply as we all can understand it, what this means to college football.
Yeah, I will, and it is very difficult. But last spring, Judge Wilkins, in Ninth Circuit Court, basically said that all students can have agents, which was against NCAA rules to negotiate for them. So we now know they all can have agents. The California law basically allowed them to not just get money from the university, but to get money from outside of the university. That won't pass until 2023, but as you mentioned, more states have piled on, with Florida, for instance, being April of 2020. You can't have 30 states or 50 states doing different things. And so the federal government's stepping in on this to look into it. And basically what it is, it's a allowance for student athletes to negotiate their own rights, negotiate their own deals through, everybody uses car dealerships, but car dealers, the restaurants, whatever. And we recognize that we don't need a crystal ball on this. We had a program back in the 80s that got the death penalty. I won't say them out loud, but we all know probably who they are for those football advocates. That basically would allow all of everything that they did to be legal. And because we're not talking about a product or a service, I come mow your lawn, there's a set rate that the courts can rule on. Name, image, and likeness, there are none, because it's all in the eye of the beholder. And so consequently, these young people, now that they have agents, could obviously get into the transfer portal and go from place to place. But even a high school athlete could now negotiate with a university or outside entities to get more money for things. And as we all recognize, again, based off that program that happened in the 80s, there's no crystal ball we need. We know exactly what's going to happen. We're going to start buying players. Kind of what happened with basketball and the apparel stuff this last year that everybody threw a fit about. And all that stuff would be legal, including GoFundMe pages to where, again, I got quarterback Doug Matthews and I'm head coach Todd Berry, and Doug's agreed to come to our university only if we raise him enough money on the GoFundMe page. So everybody pitch in and he'll make an appearance after. I mean, all those kind of things would be legal. It's a scary thing for, I think, for college athletics, and especially with the transfer portal the way that it is, in that basically that idea of going to college to get a degree, that would make any difference. That Title IX thing that you mentioned earlier, as happened with the program back in the 80s, you don't need scholarships. You're just going to go out and buy players. And so I've got as many scholarships as I've got money, basically, is what it amounts to. And for women's sports, then I don't have to have that equivalent counter. And so in the other men's sports, you don't give scholarships anymore. So you don't have to give them in women's sports. I think it's going to be this thing's a mess, and somebody needs to get out in front and talk about exactly what these young people are getting currently, along with where this thing could go if it's unchecked.
Todd, got just about a minute left here. Kind of, hopefully you'll come on. I know you will, but come on and we can discuss this in a little further detail. But kind of tie a bow onto this. You are going to be part of the group that's at the forefront of this. Must be federal legislation that has to be going with the universities, with the NCAA. Of course, you'll be a big part of that. Where do you see this, or how do you see this going forward? Not where it's going to end up, but how do you see it going forward?
Yeah, I don't know that I have necessarily great insight, but it's not because I'm not spending the time or in the right meetings. I think this can go a lot of different directions. A couple things that I know are true. One is there will be something coming out of the NCAA offices, probably in connection with something federally that they've agreed upon in the spring. And so we'll have some knowledge base of what's going to happen. Secondarily, I think the other thing that we know is by next year at this point in time, we'll have something in place probably at the NCAA convention, something legislated that membership's approving. And then lastly, Judge Wilkins has already ruled on this. All these young people are going to have agents now. And so that idea of recruiting through the high school coach and not a club coach and the purity of kind of what we've had in football over these years is getting ready to be gone, because we're going to be dealing with third parties and agents and all those other kinds of things, recruiting high school athletes and then across the board when you start talking about transfer athletes. So we're already in a different world, and more than likely by next year at this point in time, we're looking at a significantly different world unless public opinion starts shaping the politics of what this is going to revolve around in relation to federal legislation.
And the reason the NCAA will go to this is going to be a federal situation is because federal law obviously trumps state law, and you don't want 50, as you mentioned, 50 or 40 or however many different states doing it. I guess, Todd, one thing we can look forward to is I can see it right now, sanctuary campuses where we are not going to abide by the federal law on likeness. So anyway, just something to think about.
Absolutely. Could see that.
Thank you, buddy. Hey,
I appreciate you.
Hey, same here. Thanks for everything that, thanks for coming on and explaining this stuff. Cause I can tell you this, folks, nobody knows more about what's going on in this, whatever limited amount it is that he knows, than Todd Berry. Thanks so much, buddy.
Well, I appreciate it.
Give Lisa our love also.
I will certainly do that. You do the same.
All right. Thanks, Doug. All right. Todd Berry, American Football Coach Association. This is something, folks, that's really going to, it's heating up. And from talking to Todd, is a great person to talk to, but nobody really knows where this thing's going to head, because like anything, it involves legislation and lawyers and legal and all those different things. We don't know, but they're trying to get ahead of it. They've started late, to be quite honest. It's late in the ball game. I think the people who are pushing the likeness in this, the likeness issue has got their message out there much, much better. And college football coaches and administrators and universities better jump right in the middle of this, so they're going to end up having a result I don't think that they are going to like. Wilson Bank and Trust. I know you'll like Wilson Bank and Trust. I do. They're Middle Tennessee's community bank. Now, what does that mean? That means they're right here in Middle Tennessee. They're not a statewide bank. They're not a national bank. They are a Middle Tennessee, or nine counties, 28 locations, Wilson, Davidson, DeKalb, Putnam, Rutherford, Smith, Sumner, Trousdale, all right around here. You can find one near you, 28 locations. Been with their, they've been in business now about 32, 33 years. I've been with them 4 or 5 years now, and they're great people to work with. They're friendly folks. Well, a lot of people can be friendly, but they're friendly. They want to know, how can they help you, not what do you want, what do you need, how can I help you? They're very committed to youth athletics sponsorships, which I love. Matter of fact, they're very, very big. One of their prime motivating factors are the schools in there, from high school to middle school to elementary schools in all of the counties that they're located in. Wilson Bank and Trust. Check them out. I think you'll like them. Great people. Of course, they can give you all the information on the who's and the what's and the how's and all those different things. Middle Tennessee's Community Bank, Wilson Bank and Trust.
What happens to your decision-making when you drink? Well, after one drink, you feel confident. A few more, and calling your ex at 1 a.m. seems like a great idea. And you're pretty sure the secret to a great taco is four-day-old macaroni. The bottom line, drunk you doesn't make great decisions. So you're risking a DUI or worse if you count on him to get you home. Plan before you party. Get home safe. Paid for by the Tennessee Highway Safety Office.
A new car, truck, or SUV, and a new-to-you car, truck, or SUV. Walker Chevrolet has the selection to choose from. That Walker Chevrolet has been around for as long as they have has to do more with their attitude. That Walker Chevrolet isn't number one, their customers are number one. Selection and service have made Walker Chevrolet the place to look for your next new or new-to-you vehicle. And know that Walker Chevrolet will do what it takes for you to have that car, truck, or SUV. Walker Chevrolet Franklin, exit 65 off I-65 at walkerchevrolet.com.
At Double Dogs, you may come for the game, but you'll stay for the food. Your favorite sports bar is also the perfect place for lunch, dinner, or a post-game snack. Enjoy Hebrew National Chili Dog, Barbecue Bacon Cheeseburger, Crispy Homemade Onion Rings, Dog Bowl Nachos, and much, much more. Double Dogs has something for everyone, including the kids. So whether you're coming for 9 innings, 4 quarters, or 3 periods, bring your appetite. Sit, stay, eat at Double Dogs in Hillsborough Village, on Charlotte Avenue at 40th and Bowling Green.
Let me give you the latest from Daryl Hartnagler.
Forklift Systems Sports Saturday continues with Bill Justice, presented by Wilson Bank and Trust, Middle Tennessee's community bank.
Billy the Legend joined us, and we're going to be talking basketball, and primarily SEC basketball. What, 3-4 games in, something like that. Of course, Tennessee in town tonight, or this evening, playing Vanderbilt. And Bill, we can just kind of start there. Both of them would probably like to get a win out of this for a lot of different reasons.
Yeah, and Vanderbilt's a little bit compromised here. They're going to be playing without Aaron Naismith, the top scorer in the SEC. I think he's out for the year. And their best post player, Cleveland Brown, 6'8", is out for this game. So takes away 32 points offensively for Vanderbilt. So Coach Stackhouse is going to have to find a way with his limited lineup to play good ball. Great place to play, and the history there for Tennessee and Vanderbilt going back years and years back into the time period when both you and I were in school. It's just a great rivalry. Vanderbilt's basketball history and heritage is terrific. Great players, great seasons, and a great fan base.
I don't think they throw oranges in Memorial Gymnasium like they did back when I was there. It kind of built up. It went from oranges being thrown, literally. And matter of fact, there's one ball game, Bill, I think you might have already left, but then maybe not, to a guard, I forget which one he was, got hit with an orange, and he got a technical.
I go back to the time period, and I give all the credit in the world. I've told him this several times. Mark Elliott, who's still coaching here in Nashville,
yes,
walked with Tennessee's team. When Tennessee came out, he got with the team, and this was at the height of when they were doing that. And he got in front of the Tennessee team and walked the floor with Tennessee to their bench. And, of course, the Vanderbilt fans threw nothing. And that kind of ended it. I gave him a lot of credit for that, and I've told him that several times.
Well, that was a huge ball game. Always is a big ball game. It was huge back then because both teams, when I was in school and you were in school, were excellent excellent basketball programs.
Oh, the history of basketball at Vanderbilt is terrific. Probably, well, certainly other maybe than baseball, but their history there, going back to the time periods of Clyde Lee and Bob Grace and Perry Wallace and Tommy Gunn Hagen. I mean, that was a great. Roy Skinner was a terrific basketball coach. Great basketball history at Tennessee, and I think that probably that's one of the things they hope Jerry Stackhouse can bring back. And I think I do. That it is a much easier road to travel in basketball than it is football. We've talked about this, where to get solid in basketball, it takes three players, and in football, it takes 3 years.
No doubt about that. Coach Stackhouse, second year in a row, Vanderbilt loses their best scorer, at least, and arguably their best player once the season started. And Bill, the difficult thing about that is it's tough to lose a top player. But once the season started, it is so hard because you don't have the amount of practice time during a basketball season to really get players moved around and change that easily. If you're going to have one injury, you don't want any of them injured, but you like to have it in the off season or when practice first starts. So again, Coach Stackhouse, fighting from the bottom up right now. But anyway,
we'll talk about this tomorrow. But similar situation at Tennessee with Santiago Vescovi and Euros Plavsic coming in and playing, after the first of the year. Those two guys are going to play a lot of minutes, and they have very little experience at Tennessee.
Let's talk SEC right now. Auburn loses. No undefeated teams right now. And, Bill, I know you're going to get into the ones who you think are going to be there at the end, but I can't recall a year where this early, again, we're not even what not even 25% of the way through the season yet. Boy, it's hard to see exactly who's going to be doing what and who's going to be there at the end. We think we know, but what are you seeing right now?
Well, spread that a little bit. Let's go outside the SEC and go nationally. And now we're down to, in the top 20 or 25 teams, we're down to one team undefeated, San Diego State. After Auburn lost to Alabama, and yikes, by 19 points, well, there is one team left. The evenness of college basketball has never been greater. I will go into this a little bit, and let me mention it now. I did what I call doodling, and don't look for me to do this every week, but I went to the top 10, top 12 teams in the NCAA rankings and looked at players with minutes played and points per game, and it numbers came to this: 20 seniors, 17 juniors, 18 sophomores, so 55 players, and a lot of those were redshirt players, so they'd been there one more year. In all of those top 12 teams, there were only 8 freshmen, and 4 of those were from Duke. So we're seeing a time where the experience really counts. If your players have been there 1, 2, 3, 4 years, chances are you're going to be a much better team than the teams that are playing younger players.
Why do you think that is?
Oh, I think you have development. It's player development, and I think we talked about it in Tennessee. Rick Barnes is an expert at player development, and the coaches that have been in the business a long time are the same way. They are able to take players that have a lot of potential and coaching them, and with the strength and conditioning people they have and the off-season work they have, player development in college basketball, as it is in football, is enormous. The football people have the challenge of getting the body able to play against those people in college football. In basketball, the bodies of those guys in terms of height are already established, so you have a little less of a climb there, but it's still player development, I think, is the key.
Bill, let's take a look at this. You look at it much differently than I do because you have insight on this part of it. Scheduling plays so much in wins and losses. We know that particularly early. But kind of taking that into account and also what you've seen so far, give us, in no particular order, the 2, 3, 4 programs in this league right now that you think, when it's all said and done, are going to be right there fighting for the SEC championship.
Well, I still think you can take the 3 teams right now that I really like. Kentucky, as always. Auburn, I think, is as talented as anybody. They were a Final Four team last year. We've talked about this. Coach Bruce Pearl, he's a great recruiter, and he's a good basketball coach. I'm anxious to see what LSU does. They're 12-4 overall. They are the only undefeated team in the Southeastern Conference. They're at 4-0. Everybody else has lost at least one game. So we'll see how they do. They're at Ole Miss today. an Ole Miss team that has not won a game in the SEC. So a good chance LSU will come out of that 5-0. So those, and Arkansas is always tough. They're 14-2 overall. Great basketball school, great basketball setting at Arkansas. So I think those top four teams are the ones that we can look at to be going. I think it's going to be a year of parity in the SEC. I don't think you can take any game for granted. Where once we looked at getting maybe 8 or 9 teams, 10 teams in the NCAA, that's probably not going to be the case this year. We may have to settle for a few less than that.
Bill, let's talk a little bit about LSU. I think I'll just speak for myself with what went on there last year off the court with the federal FBI and all that situation. I think I just kind of discounted them because of that, but so far nothing's really come from that, and that is, as you mentioned, a very talented team.
Well, I think they're off the hook, and, you know, there's so many friends of mine from Tennessee that I still hear from all the time, especially when I'm up there for games. They've asked me that question. I'm just not that knowledgeable to know how you get off, but they're saying, how do you cheat like that and still be able to play? How can that coach still has his job? They're a very talented team. Skylar Mays is as good a player as there is in the league. Again, he's a senior. They've got 5 players that average double figures. Their margin of victory over their opponents is 14. Their shooting percentages in field goals and three-pointers and foul shots is all very good. So LSU's a good basketball team.
When we come back, we'll talk to Bill Justice again about the Vandy-Tennessee game tonight, and also we'll take a kind of look at the national picture. Gonzaga, you can pencil them in every year, and the way they do things out there. We'll talk with Bill about that when we come back, and I'll talk to you about Mandu. You've heard me talk about Mandu. I've been doing it now almost a year and a half, not quite a year and a half. You can find out everything about them at mandu.com. Here's what I can tell you, what it's done for me. It is great for me. 1 15-minute Mandu workout, electrical muscle stimulation is what it's all about. Gives me the same effect, even better than 3 or 4 hours that I was spending in the gym. Deep muscle stimulation that you simply can't get without doing a lot of weights. And, hey, I've never done a lot of weights, but I quit doing however much I did a long, long time ago. And great pricing right now. Just tell them you heard it on this show. $24.90 an introductory price on it. It's something that has been outstanding again for me and my family members that do it. MANDUU.com. Check it out. You can check out the new package there also. Again, that's Mandu at MANDUU.com.
3, 2, 1.
Now you can enjoy the new year with more games, more chances to win, and even more fun from the Tennessee Lottery. And you can play any way you like. Play quick and win big with instant games. Or try drawing-style games that pack a big money punch. So don't drop the ball. Make a resolution to put a little more cash and a whole lot of fun in your pocket today with the Tennessee Lottery. Game-changing fun. Please play responsibly.
Luna Custom Homes is now building in the Grove. If you're contemplating building in the Grove, my buddy Jay Luna would love the opportunity to meet and talk with you. Jay believes in the Grove. In fact, he has made the Grove the primary location for Luna Custom Homes. In addition to the Grove, if you're looking for something closer to downtown Franklin, well, the Arlington on West Main is just the ticket. 10 one-level residencies just 2 blocks from Starbucks. The Grove and the Arlington, all from Luna Custom Homes. 50 years building top-quality homes in Williamson County.
This is Neil Campbell with Story Abernathy & Campbell. Our team has decades of litigation experience dealing with complex marital situations. If you find yourself needing an experienced divorce attorney in Williamson County, our team can help you through that process. Whether it's a divorce, a child custody situation, or any other complex situation, we have the experience and strategy to help you. Our offices are located directly across from the Williamson County Courthouse. Contact Neil Campbell at WilliamsonDivorce.com.
You've heard me talk about American Home Design for a number of years on this show. During that time, my wife and I have had all of our windows replaced, our patio doors replaced, and our entry door replaced. Each time with the professionalism Don Bruce and American Home Design have guaranteed. If you need help in any of these areas and more, let American Home Design help you like they did me. Online at American Home Design or stop by and see them at 880 Conference Drive in Goodlettsville. They're also open Saturdays from 10 to 5 and Sunday from 1 to 5.
When it comes to home field advantage, the two words you need to know are Neyland Stadium. And when you're talking dental insurance advantage, the two words to know are Delta Dental. And know is sure to bring a smile to your face, as in no hassles, no surprises, no special ID cards required. Want to know more? Visit them online at DeltaDentalTN.com. Delta Dental of Tennessee. Dental made simple.
Forklift Systems Sports Saturday continues with Bill Justice, presented by Wilson Bank and Trust, Middle Tennessee's community bank.
I don't know if you're like me. Sometimes, most of the time, I get in a hurry and I don't have time for lunch or need to pick up something for dinner. Let me tell you a great place to go. I found out about this place many years ago. Use them all the time. Simply Living Life. They're right at the corner of Franklin Road, and Moore's Lane. You can stop by there, grab something quick to go. The soups, sandwiches, casseroles, variety of desserts, all made fresh daily. Stop by and see them again, in and out quickly. Excellent pricing. Simply Living Life, Moore's Lane and Franklin Road, right there in Brentwood, Williamson County. All right, let's get back with Bill Justice. Bill, national picture right now. You mentioned Duke, and I think we talked about this last Sunday's show, but isn't it kind of ironic how the one guy who probably held out longer on the freshman coming in, the one-and-doners, now is the team that has more of them than anybody?
Yeah, you're talking about it, Duke?
Yeah.
Yeah, they're the one school that's still playing mostly freshmen, and he still recruits that way. By the way, today a very featured game. It happens to be the same time Tennessee is playing, but Duke and Louisville, Duke is at Louisville, so you've got two top 10 teams. They're playing the rankings will change a little bit because they don't do it midweek. Some of these teams have lost, earlier in the week, and so their records will not reflect the change in the rankings until Monday. But that's probably the featured game nationally this week. It does happen at the same time Tennessee's game is on, but certainly that one's got will have a lot of impact nationally.
Looking at those national programs, we expect to be up there all the time. Boy, North Carolina is certainly having their problems this year.
Yeah, and, that's very unusual. We've always felt like, well, I do, the ACC is the most competitive league you could have. It's like the SEC is in football with the teams that they have there. And historically, North Carolina, one of the great programs with some of the greatest players that have ever played, but certainly a down year for them. A couple of teams, though, that we don't think about very often. Look at Baylor. They're now ranked second. Butler is now ranked in the top five. Gonzaga, we've talked about, they're ranked at number one. Great team. We talked about experienced players. Doug, they start their top six guys are two seniors, two redshirt seniors, a junior, and a redshirt sophomore. They also are a team that we can, the fans that are following this, can kind of look forward to seeing Gonzaga at number one all the way through until tournament time, simply because where they are, their strength of schedule is not as strong as it is in the Big Ten, SEC, or ACC.
You mentioned Big Ten. How about up in the Big Ten? Saw where Michigan lost last night, a close ball game. But I don't watch a lot of basketball this time. I start watching it more as we go along in this period, but a lot of competitive games score-wise in the Big Ten.
Well, you still in the top. You've got Ohio State, you've got Michigan State, you've got Michigan always. That is an excellent. Well, they're good in everything. Big Ten is a very, very good league, both in basketball and in football. So they'll have several teams. If you look at Michigan State over the years, Tom Izzo and what he's done at Michigan State is probably unparalleled in the current time.
Tell you, one of the few non the state university. Now Michigan State is a outstanding university. Don't get me wrong, but most of the time it's the state university. Probably as good from that perspective as anybody in the country, in every sport for that matter.
Yeah, they are. They're very competitive, and again, in a very competitive league.
All right, Vandy, Tennessee, got about a minute here, minute and a half. What do you see tonight?
Well, I think that certainly a compromised lineup for Vanderbilt. Tennessee, we'll talk about this more. We'll talk about it every Sunday. I am still bullish on this team going through this year. I think one of the things Rick Barnes does is develop players as good as anybody. We'll talk a little bit about what's to come for them in the future and recruiting on future Sundays. But right now, I think Vanderbilt is a little compromised. I think Tennessee is playing better every week. I think they've had a couple of instant additions to their lineup that are going to help them a lot. You know, having Urys Plavnik get eligible gives them a seven-footer inside who certainly is a rim protector. And to say what his talent level is right now, I don't think it's touching anything. I think basically you can't coach 7 feet, and that's why he helps them. And Santiago Vescovi, a great scorer, still needs to be a little bit more careful with the basketball, but this is a team that's got a lot of upside.
Bill, we will talk about that tomorrow. Thanks so much, and we'll talk to you next Saturday as we take a look at the national picture and certainly the Southeastern Conference picture in NCAA basketball. Thank you.
Very, very good. Talk to you tomorrow.
Billy the Legend, again, he'll be with us tomorrow at the bottom at the 8:30 hour. By the way, Big Orange Sunday tomorrow, 8 to 9. We'll spend the first church segment, 25 minutes, talking about where the Tennessee, what's going on with the Tennessee football program right now. And then we'll talk basketball after that. Before we get out of here, let's do what we always do. Let's talk to the man over at R.J. Young, Hunter McCarty, Executive Vice President. How are you, my friend?
Doug, I'm doing very well.
Former, I don't know if we, do we ever have a class together over there? You didn't go to, I went to all the classes. I don't think you went to many of them, did you? Or maybe it was vice, maybe it was the other way around. Anyway,
I don't know.
Hunter, a colleague of mine at Vanderbilt many, many years ago. Let's talk a little bit about R.J. Young. We've talked so much. I've been with R.J. Young when I started, got out of coaching, started in business several decades ago. Still with him now from an individual perspective. We talk a lot about leasing versus purchasing. Let's kind of hit it that. What would be the advantages for leasing over purchasing?
Well, Doug, there's so many more advantages, obviously, of leasing versus purchasing. But some of them are just, one, there's a tax management advantage there when you're leasing, allows your leasee to more efficient managing of some of their taxes. We also talk about the technology refresh. You know, I've always said you don't want to own technology, you want to be able to use it. And so if you lease your technology, your devices, and your software, then you can upgrade those in a timely manner when the leases are up. Of course, improve what we call return on investment, return on asset, because then you're able to get your money back quicker in terms of your investment in the products and the technology. Of course, cash flow management is pretty easy. You know exactly what that lease is going to be per month. It's not going to fluctuate. And it also is a hedge against inflation by that, because once you sign up for that lease and get a fixed amount, then, of course, that's something you can budget for, whether it be 2, 3, or 4, even 5-year leases today. So we really don't see many advantages to buying outright. We do see a lot of advantages to leasing and using our cost per copy program.
That cash flow management is pretty important, isn't it?
Well, it is today. In today's business, it really is, to know what your outgoes are going to be. You want that to be stable if you can, so you can budget for it.
My problem was mine flowed primarily one way and it wasn't in.
Sometimes they flow out.
That's exactly right. RJYoung.com, 615-255-8551. You'll do what I do. You'll Google it when you need it. And this is an outstanding company. Been in business many, 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 many years. And what are you? How many states are you in now? 6, 5, 4?
We're 9 southern, 9 southeastern states. We have over 30 locations, and we have about 650 employees now. So
you're a busy man, aren't you?
Yeah, we stay pretty busy.
Hunter, as always, thanks so much. Appreciate you coming on. And the famous "We'll make it right" guarantee. It's there. I don't know that I ever had to use it. I know I never had to use it, but always knew it was there within. I guess that's good. That's a good thing. We'll talk to you next week, buddy.
All right, Doug. Thanks.
All right, Hunter McCarty with R.J. Young, again, rjyoung.com. All right, just some promo things if you missed any part of the show. Any show that I do, actually, is always podcast on my website at Coach Doug Matthews, 110matthews.com. It's also on the 104.5 The Zone broadcast. So I go back and listen to him occasionally just to see that, hey, did I really say what that guy said I said? Most of the time, I didn't say it quite like that, but bottom line is you can get that there. If you're a Tennessee fan, tomorrow, Big Orange Sunday, going to take a look at where Tennessee is right now, transfers. How many scholarships left in football? We'll discuss that a little bit tomorrow, and kind of where Tennessee is heading on some areas, what some potential is out there. Are the coaching changes done at Tennessee? The coaching convention was last week, this past week, excuse me. And normally that's when a lot of talking and moving around and thinking about moving around and discussing moving around goes on. We'll talk about that. And, of course, Bill Justice will be with us. We'll be talking about the outcome and the results and what happened at the Vanderbilt-Tennessee game, which is tonight at 5 o'clock right here at Memorial. By the way, coming up right after we go off the air today, midday 180 in Kansas City for – I don't know what they're in Kansas City for. I think a pretty big ball game going to be up there tomorrow. So the midday 180 group will be there. Thanks to Ryan Mudd for producing this baby. Again, Tony Barnhart, as always. Todd, I hope you got a lot out of Todd Berry. We're going to be talking more about that, a very, very important issue that is facing college football as we speak that has to be – got to figure out something on that. We'll see you next Saturday, 9 o'clock.